Well, good morning. Once again, we are thankful that you are able to be with us and thankful that we have an opportunity to worship together. Even though we may not be in the physical presence of one another, hopefully we are of the same mind as we're listening to this. And again, whether it's on a DVD, a CD, whether we've downloaded it from the internet, any of those avenues, we're thankful that you are able to be with us this morning. And it is always my hope and my prayer that the lesson be of benefit to you. Again, hopefully this is not something that is going to continue for a long period of time, that we'll be able to get back together shortly and be worshiping together in the presence of one another again. But this seems to be, at least for us and those that I've spoken with that enjoy it, the best avenue that we have right now to communicate, to present lessons, to do a full service. This seems to be the route to go. And so we're going to do that. And as I said in the introduction, maybe some tweaks along the way for sure. But I'm so thankful and appreciative of all of those who have jumped in to help out, to lead singing, to say prayers, to do the Lord's Supper. It's been wonderful and it's been enjoyable. I know for me and my family, and hopefully it is for yours as well. I thought that a good topic for this week might be ye thankful. Again, Colossians 3 is going to be the context, and we'll sneak into chapter 4 as well. So if you have a mark in your Bible, I encourage you to go there to Colossians 3 and 4 and put the mark there, because we will be going back and forth through those verses most of the lesson this morning. Within these verses, Paul talks a great deal about thanksgiving and being thankful. And, you know, when we go through difficult times like this, sometimes it's hard to be thankful. It's hard to, you know, think about thankfulness and, you know, thanking God for all that he's done for us. But within these verses, Paul again talks about how thankfulness can have a powerful influence over others. Others see us being thankful, seeing Christians being thankful in what they would typically deem an unthankful situation. And that would, you know, create a lot of impact for them. And I know that I've seen others, and I've talked about before, how, you know, others might be dying of cancer or dying of a disease of some sort, but yet, you know, just the look on their face and the thankfulness in their heart, it really drives other people to question them about that. How can you be in such a good mood when you're going through all of this? And so when others see that, you know, in our lives, when we're going through difficult times, but yet we can still have that positive outlook and have that thankfulness toward God, it really makes an impact on others. Paul is trying to help the Colossian brethren here to be more thankful in their lives toward God. And so I just want to take a look for a few moments today what the formula is for being thankful. The first thing that I do want us to look at is that all of this, and most of the time, all of this starts, it begins in the heart. And so looking at the verses in Colossians chapter 3, let's go to verses 14 through 16. Paul says, "Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell within you with all wisdom, and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your heart to God." He begins this particular section with, beyond all these things, put on love. And he explains the reason why they put on love is that it is the perfect bond of unity. And again, who are we trying to be united with? Well, I believe there are two people that we are meant to be united with. One, first and foremost, obviously, we are meant to be united with God. And so, you know, we take our own thoughts, our own wisdom out of the equation, and we use God's. And that's how we become unified with God. And then those other people that are doing that, our brothers and sisters in Christ, who are putting aside their own thoughts and their own will and their own minds, and they're putting theirs away as well and focusing on their unity with God and doing what God wants them to do. And we can be, again, united in love with our brothers and sisters in Christ, as well as being united with God. And so in Philippians chapter 4, starting in verse 6, we read this: be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, of good repute, if there is any excellence and if anything is worthy of praise, dwell on these things. He talks about in verse 7, the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, guarding your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. But again, how do we get there? Well, he says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts. And so, again, this unity that we can have with God, and because others have that same unity with God, we can have that same unity with them as well. But it begins with being thankful to God and letting your requests be made known to Him. So he again tells us in verse 16 what a thankful heart will bring to those Colossian brethren. Let the word of Christ dwell within you richly, with all wisdom and teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your heart to the Lord. If we have that thankful heart the way that we're supposed to, then Christ's words are going to dwell within us. It's going to give us wisdom for teaching and admonishing one another, and it is going to cause us to sing. You know, when you think about that, and you know, music is something that I love, and it causes all kinds of emotions. And, you know, when you're happy, you know, when things are going well, a lot of times it causes us to sing. And maybe we're not the best singer, but it will cause us to sing. And when we have that thankful heart toward God and everything that He's done for us, then we will have all of these things in our lives. Christ's words will dwell in our hearts. We will have wisdom that we need for teaching other people, and it will cause us to be joyous and be joyous in song. And so how do we get our hearts right with God? Well, in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, we're told, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so again, he tells us how to get our hearts right with God. Yes, we may need to confess our sins, not only to one another, but especially to God. And it says that He is faithful and righteous to forgive us and to cleanse us from unrighteousness, in which we will be able to then have the relationship that we need to have with God. And I want to add something to that. And so, you know, 1 John tells us to confess our faults, confess our sins to God, and He is faithful to forgive us of our sins. And so that allows us to get on the right track with God. But what about our brothers and sisters in Christ? Well, a lot of times I believe that forgiveness is something that keeps us from having the unity that we need to have with our brothers and sisters in Christ, because maybe somebody has done something to me and I didn't agree with it, and I refuse to forgive them. And if we're refusing to forgive them, then our heart is not going to be right with them. We're not going to have the unity that Christ prayed for. We're not going to have the unity that God wants us to have. And so we need to forgive others the same way that God has forgiven us, so that we can be right with God because he forgives us, and we can be right with others because we forgive them. The second thing that I want us to look at is, not only does our heart need to be right, to be thankful the way that we need to be, but also our life needs to be right. And so I just want to read through these verses again, and this is a more lengthy reading, but I want to start in verse 17 of Colossians chapter 3, and I want to read through chapter 4 and verse 1. We're told there, "Whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Wives, be subject to your own husbands, as is fitting to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be embittered against them. Children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not exasperate your children, so that they will not lose heart. Slaves, in all things obey those who are your masters on earth, not with external service as those who merely please men, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. For whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. For he who does wrong will receive the consequences of the wrong which he has done, and that without partiality. Masters, grant your slaves justice and fairness, knowing that you too have a master in heaven." These verses really explain to us the normal Christian life, what our Christian life is supposed to be. These are not things that are above and beyond what our Christianity is meant to be. These are things that make a normal Christian life. And he begins it in verse 17 to say, whatever you do, give thanks to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do in the name of the Lord. And then he says, giving thanks through him to God, the Father, who gives us all things to be thankful for anyway. Our thankfulness, he says in these verses, are going to affect our family life. And again, because of the situation that we are in, I believe this holds true now more than ever. Look at all of the things that he talks about in the family dynamic in these verses. We need to be thankful wives who submit to our husbands. Is that something that is difficult to do? Absolutely, it's difficult to do. And certainly a wife can point at a husband and say, well, you know, if you would love me the way that Christ, you know, loves the church, then it would be easier to submit. But that's not what God says. He just says, wives, be submissive to your husbands. Then he goes on to the husbands and he says, husbands, love your wives and do not be embittered against them. And we could say as husbands, you know what? It would be easier to love you the way that Christ loved the church if you would submit to us the way that you're supposed to. If you would be subject to us the way that you are supposed to, it would be easier for us to love you in the way that God intended us to. But that's not what he says. He simply says, husbands, love your wives and do not be embittered against them. No matter what they do, just love your wives the way that Christ loved the church. He tells children in verse 20 to be obedient to their parents. And again, he doesn't say as long as you agree with everything they say. No, as long as it is falling in line with God's word, he says you need to be obedient to your parents in all things. Why? For this is well-pleasing to the Lord. And again, one of the things that we try to teach our children oftentimes is that when we tell them to do something and we expect their obedience, it's not just about us telling them what to do and them doing what we've asked them to do. It very much is about God looking at them and saying, okay, can they, if they can't even obey their parents, who are standing in front of them, who have raised them, who have, you know, physically supplied for them, how and why would they be, you know, subjected to me and obedient to me as God, their creator, whom they cannot see? And so, you know, again, we teach our children that it's not just about, you know, obeying your parents. This is something that's pleasing to God. And then he goes on into verse 21 and says, fathers, do not exasperate your children so that they will not lose heart. Thankful parents are not going to burden their children beyond what their children should be bearing. We need to love our children and raise our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And again, a thankful parent is not going to do that. And so he concludes this little section on the family and moves to the effect that thankfulness can have in the workplace. Again, these are not things sometimes that we like. In verse 23, he says, whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men. And he goes on to explain, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. And a thankful worker, a thankful employee is going to work for God. Yes, God understands that there's a human aspect to this, and that you are working for maybe a company or you have a boss that you are working for. God understands that. But he said, don't think of it like that. You think of it like I've asked you to do it. And again, the same thing that we talked about with children obeying their parents. What if God looks at us and says, you know what? He doesn't handle authority very well. He's not even obedient to his employer who pays him, you know, who gives him all of these things that he has and allows him the ability to provide for his family. He's not even, you know, doing what they ask him to do. How is he going to do what I have asked him to do? And so he tells us to live our lives, to live our work life in a way that we're working for God, like God has asked us to do these things. And again, God is not asking you to go against your conscience. He's not asking you to do something that would absolutely directly violate his law. But he says, as long as it fits into those categories, then do what your employer has asked you to do. And then he goes to the other side of that. And a thankful employer is going to treat their employees as God would treat them in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 1. Masters, grant to your slaves justice and fairness, knowing that you too have a master in heaven. And again, he connects that with God. You know, he says, you know, treat your servants, treat your employees as we would look at it, as, you know, in the analogy that we would use. We don't have slaves, but we certainly do have employees that would fit into this category. You know, so if you're, you know, the boss over someone, he says, treat them with justice and fairness, knowing that you too have a master in heaven, that you're going to answer to God, just like they answer to you. You're going to answer to God. And so treat them fairly, treat them with justice. And again, sometimes that's very difficult to do. And certainly we can take these things that he talks about the family and he talks about the workplace, and we can apply these things over the board to all of our lives in treating others the way that we ourselves would like to be treated. It's the golden rule that Jesus taught when he was on earth. The last thing that I want us to look at as far as the formula is concerned for being thankful the way that we should. We've talked about the heart being right. We've talked about our life being right. And I want to talk about now our prayer life being right. So let's turn our attention to Colossians chapter 4, starting in verse 2 and reading through verse 4. He says there, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving, praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open to us a door for the word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been in prison, that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak. So he again begins this particular section with devote yourselves to prayer. And then he ends that with thanksgiving. Devote yourselves to prayer with thanksgiving, or with an attitude of thanksgiving. And so when we look at this word devote, it really can be translated here to commit by a solemn act. And so there's something that we need to do. If he tells us to devote ourselves to something, then there's something that we need to do to accomplish that. And so again, there's this solemn act, and this solemn act is prayer. He tells us what that act is in this particular case. Devote yourselves to prayer with an attitude of thanksgiving. And again, notice that the prayers are encouraged regardless of what the outcome is going to be. There are going to be times when we pray when we're not going to get what we want. Again, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17 says, pray without ceasing. And think about that. There are going to be times when God says no, or when God says you need to wait until later. But he also continues to tell us to pray without, don't ever get out of the habit of praying. Pray without ceasing. That doesn't mean you're always going to get what you want, but he does tell us to continue to pray. Thanksgiving is also encouraged without the outcome. Again, the answers may come slowly, or the answer may be no, but that doesn't mean that we still can't be thankful. Think about what a parent would do if a child came to them and asked them, hey, can I go to this place this weekend? And the parent says, you know what? I don't think it's a good idea. This may be a place that you shouldn't be, or whatever the case may be. And so the parent tells the child no. And that child then turns around and says, you know what, Mom? You know what, Dad? Thank you for at least considering it. Thank you for hearing me out. And thank you for doing what you think is best for me. Is that typically the attitude that a child has? No, typically the attitude is, you just don't want me to have fun. And, you know, why can't I do this? And, you know, the excuses go on. But think about a child that would do that. We would think, wow, that would be wonderful if our children would come to us and say, hey, thank you for considering it, and thank you for doing what you feel is best for me. Now think about God, knowing all of the things that God does. How oftentimes do his children, when they're praying for something and don't receive it, or don't receive it in the way or in the time that they believe they should, how many times do they point to God and blame him for something? How could you do this to me? Why can't you let me have this? And all of these terrible things that people think and people sometimes say toward God. But yet he tells us here that thanksgiving is not something that is tied to an outcome. We need to be thankful no matter what the outcome is, just like we need to be prayerful no matter what the outcome is. We need to continue to be thankful no matter what the outcome is as well. And so how is it that we make our prayers right toward God? Well, I believe the place to go is 2 Chronicles chapter 7. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, we find Solomon, who is ready to dedicate the temple, and he's, you know, standing and he's giving, you know, this temple over to God, and he's asking God to watch over this place and to listen to the prayers that are coming from this place. And the response that is given in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verses 13 and 14, coming from God, he says, if I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or if I command the locust to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, and my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. So notice all of those things that are tied to this right attitude of prayer for the children of Israel. And again, I realize that we're not following the old covenant, but here's a pattern of prayer that I think that we're given that would allow us to be pure in heart when we go to God in prayer. Notice what he says again in verse 14, all of the things that are there. And my people who are called by my name. Are we called by the name of God and by the name of his son, Jesus Christ? Can we call ourselves Christians the way that God intended us to? Have we been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of our sins so that we can have that Christian name tied to us? If not, you have to ask yourself the question, why not? So that's the first thing. Then he says, my people who are called by my name, humble themselves. Again, it takes that to become a child of God in the first place. But once we are a child of God, that humility doesn't go away. We need to continually humble ourselves when we approach God in prayer and realize the magnitude of the fact that we are at the Lord's throne and we are seeking from our Creator help, or we are giving thanks to our Creator for all the things that he's given us. And it is a humbling thing to go before God in prayer. And then he moves on, my people who are called by my name, humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Do we seek God's face? Think about, you know, seeking after God. Do we seek to be where God is? A lot of times we want God to meet us where we are, and certainly he will do that, to come and get us out of sin. But when we are out of that sin, when God does call us by his name, and we humble ourselves to become a child of God, do we continually seek to be where he is and not expect him to come and get us all the time? So are we seeking after him? And again, he finishes this up and says, and turn from their wicked way, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sins, and will heal their land. And so when we think about having our prayers right with God, it's going to take all of these things, being called by his name, humbling ourselves before him, seeking after him in his ways, and turning from our wicked ways, not to commit those things again. And then our prayers can be what they need to be toward God. Paul teaches here in these verses, the Colossians, how to be thankful for everything that God has given them. They need to have the right heart. They need to be living the right life. And their prayers need to be the right prayers. We need to apply these things to our own lives. Yes, Paul is giving the Colossians a lot of things to think about, but he's giving us a lot of things to think about as well. And we need to stay thankful, even in times where we have trial and where we have struggle and trouble in our lives. We need to stay and remain thankful to God, because there's so many other things that are good, and appreciate Gabe leading the songs that he led, and count your many blessings. Name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. And so it sometimes will surprise us if we just, in those times of stress and trouble and trials, if we truly sit down and begin to count our blessings, we'll see that we are blessed beyond measure. And we always, again, always need to be thankful for the spiritual blessings that we have through them. Even if we have nothing physically, we can always be thankful for the spiritual blessings that we have through his son, Jesus Christ. Again, we are here. If you're out there and you're listening and you want to become a child of God today so that God will listen to those prayers, you have time and opportunity to do that. Give us a call. Give one of the men a call. Give me a call, one of the elders a call, and we'll meet you at the building, and we'll make sure that you're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. If it's something that you've already done that, and there's sin that's crept back into your life, and you know, maybe you feel like you can't be as thankful as you need to be because of that sin that's in your life, we can still confess our faults to one another. Again, I would encourage you to talk to the elders about that. You can certainly call me. But I would encourage you to talk to the elders about that and make those things known so that we can pray together, pray for one another and pray with one another and ask God forgiveness of those things and help you get back on the right track. Those options are still available for you even today, even right now. So until we do this again, I encourage you to be thankful.